turn tonight to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. Genesis, chapter 12. We want to continue in this little series on special altars in the Word of God. When you think of and look at the special altars in the life of Abraham, the servant of God, it's amazing that when for 3 weeks we studied the great altar to see to in Joshua 22, it took us a long time to get through it, to get the background activity and all the considerations that were necessary. And in the end, what did it amount to? The great altar to see to was just that, a great altar to look at. It didn't amount to a thing, not to those who built it, nor to their offspring. In contrast to that, when you look at the altars in the life of Abram, whose name is changed to Abraham, they're a source of growth, they're a means of rich blessing, not only to Abraham himself, but also to the seed of Abraham. So we begin in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7, where we read, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him." I call this the altar of blessing. The altar of blessing because God said to Abram, he said, "Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great." You have that in the opening verses of chapter 12. God had appeared to Abram, and God had given him guidance and direction for his life. Now the altar became a place of worship to him, a place of remembrance for several reasons. Number one, he had received guidance from the Lord. God told him to get out. God told him to come into the land, and by grace, both these things transpired in his life. The second reason that this became a place of worship is he had received promises from the Lord. We can live on promises. We don't live on explanations. It takes us a long time to learn this. We do not live on explanations. And we're living in a day when everybody wants everything explained. But you don't live on explanations. You grow on promises and you live on promises. And it is promises that God gave to Abraham. He gave him promises. God appeared to him. He had received promises from God. Now he had received the promise of the gift of the land. You have that especially there in verse 7. "Unto thy seed will I give this land." The 11th chapter of Hebrews tells us that Abram died without receiving the promise. He never received this land for himself. All that he ever owned was a burying plot where he buried Sarah, his wife. That's all he ever owned. But God promised it, and Abram looked for the city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. His eye was ever on that city. Now, while Abram received promises from God, while he received promises from the land, that the land would be his and his seed, he didn't boast. He worshipped. He didn't go around saying, "Well, the Lord appeared unto me. I'm someone special." No, he worshipped the Lord. He took a humble place before God. He worshipped God who appeared unto him. What a precious portion. The second altar we have is in the next verse. Verse 8. "And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord." I call this the altar of direction, because we are given two compass points here, and the one is Bethel, the other is Hai. Bethel on the west, that means house of God. Ai on the east means heap of ruins. And this is direction that God gives to assure his children where they are. You and I are just there. We are between a heap of ruins and the house of God. The heap of ruins is where we came from. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. There is none of us that can ever boast of anything before a holy God. When God speaks to his own through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 50, and about verse 2, he says, "Ye that follow righteousness, look to the hole of the pit from whence ye were digged, and to the rock from whence ye were hewn, for I called Abraham alone and blessed him." Abraham was where he was, and Abraham was what he was, not because of Abraham, but because of God. And he can look at Hai on the one side, and he can see a heap of ruins. He could look at Bethel on the other side, and he could see the house of God. And right there where he was the altar of worship. He was going from a heap of ruins to the house of God. And that's the end for every one of God's children. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And here Abram worships. He worships at this altar. Why? Because he came from depravity to grace. The depravity that the heap of ruins stands for, and the grace that was his present portion as he worshiped God, looking toward his holy house, the house of God. Well, the third altar, Genesis chapter 13, verse 4, verse 3, really, and 4. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. I call this altar the altar of restoration. The altar of restoration. Faith must be tested. And Abram, under test, he went down to Egypt. And Abram had his nephew Lot with him. Now, Lot was a strange fellow. Saved? Yes. But Lot didn't have an altar. You don't read that Lot had an altar. You read that Lot had flocks, he had herds. He had a lot of things. Everything that Lot had, he compared it with something. When Lot made a choice, he compared it to Egypt. When he chose to go towards Sodom and Gomorrah, he looked, it was like the land of Egypt. And everything that Lot chose, he chose because it was like the land of Egypt. And what a sad condition to be in. That this world becomes a standard for the child of God. And the difference between Abram and Lot was, Abram compared things to the city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Here's the altar of restoration. God restored Abram. You see, Abram had to return to the place that he left. He had left that altar that we looked at verse 8 of chapter 12, the one between Bethel and Hai. He went to Egypt. He lied about his wife. He was expelled by the king of Egypt. But finally, he is restored to the Lord. He had to come back to the place he left in unbelief. You know, backsliding doesn't happen all at once. Backsliding is a gradual process. And the moment that we leave off Bible reading and prayer and fellowship with God, fellowship with the Lord's people, it won't be long before it becomes a tendency. You see? And once it's a tendency, it can lead to a habit. And before we know it, we're in real serious problems. That's what happened to Abram. The end of chapter 12, he was still going toward the south. He was moving toward Egypt. He was going south, you see. He was going that way. And backsliding begins with a bent, and it continues with a tendency, and it ends with a habit. Poor Abram. But thanks be to God, his grace restores. Psalm 23, we read, He restoreth my soul. You know what you don't read in the account of Abram in Egypt? We do read that he lied. You don't read that he built an altar in Egypt. You don't read that he built an altar. It's an amazing thing, beloved, when you study and you watch the lives of believers. The habits that they pick up the moment that they drift from the centrality that's in Christ. The world encroaches and pushes them into its mold. It's a sad thing. We don't read of Abram building an altar in Egypt, but we do read of the lies that he told. My, isn't it good to be restored to the Lord? There isn't a one of us in our lives who at one time or another was not restored to the Lord. We have all slipped. If you tell me tonight that you haven't slipped since you're saved, I'll question whether you're really saved. Because every one of us have grown cold at one time or another. And it could be that we're cold tonight in our attitude toward the Lord. This can happen, and it happens so easily. The sad part about it, we recognize it when the big fall comes. But there are symptoms along the way that we need to be aware of. And the first two symptoms of growing cold is a leaving off of the reading of Scripture and spending time with the Lord in fellowship and in prayer. Friends, we all get a calendar that we can read every day, but I'll tell you something, the calendar isn't enough. The calendar isn't enough. We must spend time with the Lord. Thank God for the altar of restoration. That's what I call the one in chapter 13. Now, we come to verse 18 in chapter 13, the end of the verse. We'll take verse 17 and 18 together. God says to Abram, Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Now what transpires between the altar in verse 4 and the altar in verse 18 is there's a family feud. A fight in the family between Lot and between Abram. Lot was a worldly-minded man. Abram was a heavenly-minded man. And the scripture says in Amos chapter 3 verse 3, can two walk together except to be agreed? If you carefully study this passage, Abram said to Lot, now choose whatever you want. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And Lot, he lifted up his eyes. He took a look. And he went eastward. He looked at the well-watered plain of Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, it was like the land of Egypt. So the text says. He says, that's mine. That's mine. If you give me the choice, boy, I'll take that. It's prime property. Prime property. It's like the fellow I knew years ago by the name of Tom Mason. His famous story was, everyone in Texas owns a lot and is wealthy. And he said, I asked the man if he owned much in Texas. He said, no, I only own 13 acres. only 13 acres in Texas. Yes, he said, downtown Dallas. So you see, and Lot was looking for downtown Dallas. And he took it. Abram was magnanimous. Abram said, let there be no strife between us, for we be brethren. Wouldn't it be good, beloved, when things happen among God's people, that we were that spiritual and walking that close with the Lord, that we could say to one another, now listen, let there be no strife between us. We're brethren. We're brethren. I said this years ago, wouldn't it have been wonderful if Dr. Bob and Dr. Billy would have said to one another, let there be no strife between us, for we be brethren. But instead of strife, there is jealousy. Abram, the magnanimous man, God had something to tell him. God did tell him. He said, arise, Abram, now walk through the land, in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for unto thee will I give it. I tell you, the man who is secure in his relationship to the Lord doesn't care what anybody else has. He doesn't really care what anybody else says or what anybody else gets, because he knows in the end he's going to get it all. See, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and about verse 20, wherefore, all things are yours. All things. And then he enumerates them. And there isn't anything that you can think of that would not fall into one of those categories that are found there in the last two verses of 1 Corinthians 3. Why do you glory in men? Why is there strife and contention? All things are yours. And there, when God said to Abram, it's all yours, take a look at it. Look as far as you can, to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. You have nothing to worry about. You know, the person who really worries and gets uptight is the person who is insecure in their relationship to the Lord. The deeper our relationship with the Lord, the more secure we are, and the less we're worried about what the other fellow has, or what the other fellow gets, or if he gets a little more glory, or something else. Beloved, Abram was told by God, now walk through the land. And I like the next verse. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. Two things here. I call this the altar of fellowship for this reason. Mamre means fatness. Hebron means fellowship. Now in satisfaction. Abram is a satisfied man. He is walking with the Lord. And he's in fellowship with the Lord. What is the result? Worship. He builds an altar. He worships. He's engaged in happy fellowship with the Lord. Worship. I love to listen to the worship of my brethren. It doesn't have to be perfect, because none of our worship is perfect, no matter who it is. But it's acceptable to God. And what is acceptable to God is what blesses the heart and lifts us into the heavenlies in Christ. Genesis 22. One more. Genesis 22. Now we're well acquainted with this altar here. Here it's the altar of sacrifice. In Genesis 22, God asks Abram to take Isaac, his own son whom he loved, and to offer him as a burnt offering. Now, Abraham had worshipped before, but now he's to learn something about God that he never knew before. Oh, yes. Now, to build this particular altar, we read about it in verse 9. We read, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. This must have been a difficult altar to build. Every time he put a stone on the altar, he must have thought about what's going on. What is God going to do in relation to his son? His son had all the promises. And he received Isaac from the dead in a figure, we're told in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're all acquainted with this passage. You see, God didn't give him the vision of the ram when he started to build the altar. He didn't give him the vision of the ram when he had the altar finished. He only gave him the vision of the ram when Isaac was bound and laid on the altar. God took him all the way. Now we're so afraid of that. Can we trust God to take us to the nth degree and to test us? God is faithful. And here we see the faithfulness of God. Do you know what this altar did for Abram? For Abraham, it gave Abraham a deeper love for his son Isaac. And beloved, if we know something about sacrifice, it gives us a deeper appreciation of the person of Christ. I'm so afraid in this country that the only thing we know about sacrifice is how to spell the word. I really am. We know so little about sacrifice. When I read about what it costs some people to believe in Christ and to stand for Christ in various parts of the world, I bow my head in shame. But not only did this altar give Abraham a deeper love for Isaac, but it gave him a deeper vision of Christ. You see, Abram named this place, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Our Lord Jesus said of this activity, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And he saw it and was glad. He saw Christ's day, that day when he laid Isaac on the altar. And then when he beheld the ram caught in the thicket, you know what he saw? He saw a thorn-crowned ram. A lamb. A male lamb. Caught in the thicket. He got a full picture of Calvary. A thorn-crowned Savior. A thorn-crowned substitute. And he offered him there in the place of Isaac. He saw Christ there. What does that mean? Well, first of all, Isaac was a child of promise. And our Lord Jesus was a child of promise. Isaac was born miraculously. Our Lord Jesus was born miraculously. Isaac brought joy to the family, for his name means laughter. The person of our Lord Jesus brought joy. Isaac was persecuted by the man of the flesh. Our Lord Jesus was persecuted by people who loved the works of the flesh and boasted in them. Isaac willingly walked with his father to the place of sacrifice where he was laid on the altar. Our blessed Lord walked with the father to the place of sacrifice, and there he laid down his life. Isaac was raised from the dead in a figure. Our blessed Lord was raised from the dead in reality. One more thing. We read that Abraham came down from the mountain in Genesis 22. You don't read that Isaac did. The the next time you read of Isaac, he's receiving a bride. And beloved, where's our Lord? Our Lord is exalted at God's right hand. We sang tonight, O child of God, there is for thee a hope that shines amid the gloom, a gladsome hope that thou shalt see our Lord, for he will surely come. He's coming again. And you see, when we next time you see Isaac is in chapter 24. Isaac receives a bride. And the next time we're going to see our Lord is when he receives his people unto himself. He'll come and tarry not. Oh, what an altar this is. The altar of sacrifice. Beloved, there are many special altars in the Bible. Well, that special altar in Joshua 22 only basically spelled trouble. It didn't mean anything. Here are five altars in the life of Abraham that meant everything to him. Now, next week, I'm going to take up a bad altar again in the will of the Lord. These were good altars in the life of Abram. We'll take a one that isn't so good the next time. Now let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus that we can enjoy the altar of fellowship. We can live at Hebron in fellowship with thyself and enjoy the fatness of memory as we meditate upon him who is our all in all, even our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you now that you'll take this word and bless it to every heart. Oh, if we need restoring our God, restore souls.